Tonight, amongst the shaylos we will be discussing is the halachas. What happens if the shoes break on Chol HaMoed? You have to fix them. It's interesting. It just occurred to me that we don't really go to the shoemakers so much anymore. We don't really go to shoemakers, right? It's cheaper to buy shoes. It's one of those professions which have disappeared. So anyway, what about fixing shoes? Fixing shoes on Chol HaMoed, that's permitted. I want to talk about and then we can talk about machines generally, using machines on Chol HaMoed. So that we'll also discuss tonight. Right, okay. We are up to Siman Tov Kuf Mem Aleph. And we are learning tonight from Seif Dalet onwards. And Seif Dalet teaches us as follows. Also the Sakin Malbushov. Also, you're not allowed to fix also the Sakin Malbushov, your clothing, I mean all of your shoes, Hakurim, which are torn. You may not fix a torn garment or torn shoe. To give it to the goy, let's ask him to fix it. We will discuss at a later stage that whatever you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a goy to do either. That's the next page, actually. So in line with this, that whatever you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to ask a goy to do either. So it's a bit different than the concepts that we normally know, that Amir Al-Anochi is more lenient. No. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, whatever you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to go to do either, generally. So, you're not allowed to fix garment and fix shoes. Why not? What's wrong with fixing shoes?
Assuming you have another pair.
Yes. What's wrong with fixing? Would you categorize as a Maase Omen? That's the rule. Normally, you know, Maase Omen is Osn Chol HaMoed here too. To fix a shoe, you need a certain amount of expertise, and you've got to be a shoemaker to fix a shoe. I don't know how you start. I don't know. I think there must be quite a skill involved if it's made by hand. You know how to fix a shoe. So I gather. It is the halach is it's considered a ma'aser umen. That's why it's also you may not give a shoe, and you may not fix yourself the shoe because it's considered a ma'aser umen. Now, the Mishnah Berurah addresses interesting shaila. What happens if you only have that particular shoe, but you can still walk with it. So it's not gonna. You're not gonna be walking around with your socks. You can, but if you were, you know, there's a stage that it comes to. At that stage, it's not a big deal to fix it. It needs a few stitches. It's over the counter. It's not a big deal. However, if you were to wait until after Yom Tov to give it, and you're gonna wear that particular pair of shoe until, because that's the only one you've got, until after Yom Tov, then the shoe is going to be ruined. It's going to be finished. It's going to be completely torn. Shaila is now, if that changes the halacha or not, again, you could get away with it, but it's going to be a significant...
It's a double ovid.
Are you saying it's double ovid?
Yeah, it becomes a double ovid.
It becomes a double ovid. Oh, but the point would be, I suppose the point one could argue, it's not a double ovid now. Now, it's not a double ovid.
So it's going to end up costing you money.
Very good. Mishnah Berurah paskens exactly as you are saying. Hinseif Kotten Dalet. Also lesaken. Excuse me, Seif Kotten Yud. Also lesaken. You may not fix. Af alpi, although she yisko yoisa, they will be torn further. Im lo yisaken. If they tear a bit more, if you don't fix it, also it's nevertheless, it's also. To loy mikhi dova ovet elosh sheikra dova nifsat. If it's just tearing a little bit, and that's not considered dover of it. You're not going to fix it, it's going to tear a little bit more. That's not an excuse. However, here comes the point. And if they're going to be torn significantly, if you don't fix them now, they're going to be a very significant tearing. Mutter is permitted. Af al yedei Yisrael, even through Yid himself, lesakin to fix. The einzoch shin, it doesn't have to be done in an irregular way. Tahave, because it is qualified and considered dova ha'oveit. It's considered dova ha'oveit. Here comes your point. That's if you've got those shoes and only those shoes. No spare. Ain't so chlem b'chlemet, but if you go an alternative, pshit also certainly it's going to be also. The anichem, keep them aside. V'lo yishtamish b'hem, don't use them. Ad achamot until after chlemot. Okay, so Rabbi said, here is the point. If you've got an alternative, then use the alternative. If those shoes or that garment, same thing, needs to be fixed. So if it's just a little bit, then you know, leave it, don't do it. But if it's going to be torn so much until after Yom, that it's going to be such a huge, it's going to be ruined completely. Very significant, you know, it's going to be expensive to fix after Chol HaMoed. You can't give it in to fix now. Okay. Do you want to have a torn trouser or something that you need in the Chol HaMoed? Torn trouser or something? What would be that locha? Trousers torn, you know, your Shabbos trousers, I don't know. Torn Chol HaMoed, based on what we're seeing now.
Again, if you've got another pair,
yeah, and if you've got another pair, you can fix it, yeah. Yeah, Mishatoch, yeah. Now, me more on this, a bit more on torn clothes. Bottom line, see if hey, Mishatoch loy beged HaMoed. You've got Yom Tov clothes which you would like to wear on Chol HaMoed. Imoyo Hedyet, if you are a simple man, and you're not efficient, and you don't have particular expertise with this particular melocha, you can do it yourself. So something needs to be fixed. You know what? Perhaps the, what's called the bottom of the trousers, the hem is like come down, you want to fix it. It's the trouser you need to wear on Yom Tov. So if you're not a great expert, but you can get away with it, you know how to do it, if you've done it once or twice, but you know basically how to do it, then that's considered, you're not efficient, you're not great, but you can do it. You can do it in a regular way. Do it, it's fine, you can do it. But if you're an expert, if you're a tailor, if you're a woman, you're an efficient expert tailor, how is it? Oh, so it's the Maaseh Hedyet. You can only do it in an irregular way, which is the Maaseh Hedyet. So if you're an expert in this particular field, you have got expertise and you can't do it in your professional way. For instance, what you could do, is to wide stitches, one higher up, one lower down. So the stitches should be not aligned, like the teeth of a dog. Like the teeth of a dog. So I don't tend to look into the mouth of dogs so much. For various reasons, I don't look into the mouths of dogs. But apparently the dog's teeth are not aligned. Yeah, is that so?
What do you mean, level? Not...
Yeah. One is higher than the other. I don't know if it's referring to the side ones. Not sure, but it says that like dog's teeth. You should, if you have to fix something, then don't do it in a professional way. I was wondering about the button coming off. I had this once. The coat button came off. You can survive with that, but you know what happens if you don't put it back on, then eventually it's... Could you stitch on the button to the coat? Or not? Came off Yom Tov, first day's Yom Tov. You need it. You can manage with that. It's one button, you know, you can get away with it. Maaseh Hedyet, yeah. So I think the halacha is, based on what we're seeing now, Maaseh Hedyet is permitted. Maaseh Uman. Now, I don't know what that means in terms of putting a button back on. How do you define a Maaseh Uman? And how do you define a Maaseh Hedyet? I understand when it comes to stitches, one is higher, lower. What? Yeah, so, yeah. I was, probably, yeah, just you skip one of the holes. Yeah, does that make sense? How's your button stitching?
So you need, if it's three, you can use two, but if it's two, you can't use one. I can't see anything.
You need one hole, that's all you need really, right?
That's the only thing I do, we're stitching, that's the only thing I can do, but
you need... So you're an expert, you know?
Well, I don't know. I've got a button on, but you need to have...
Shirt buttons have got four.
You can have four.
You can get away with doing two, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I think that would be a good example of a Maaseh Hedyot. It's not, so that would be probably permitted. Okay, for chol adam yachmir al atzmo, a person should be stringent on himself. Litfoy b'shinui zeh, to stitch in a irregular way with wide stitches, one on top of the other. For loy mehani le'umen litfoy, any for an expert, it is not sufficient. For loy mehani, it is not sufficient le'umen for the expert litfoy to stitch al day by doing. It is not sufficient that you hold the needle in a different position. Elo, rather, be'inon, we require shinui, a change hanika which is recognizable. What does that mean? It's not good enough for the expert to hold the needle the wrong way around, a different way. If you want to do something into a masa, head it, it needs to be. Shinui, how would you define shinui? So he said that's not good enough. It needs to be shinui hanik, it needs to be recognizable. What does that mean, recognizable shinui?
After the end result.
Very good. That's the point. That's what Mishabu explains. That shinui hanik is cotton design. Hainu shiyeh nikah betfir, that it's recognizable with the way you have done the stitches, that it's recognizable that it's not stitched properly. So I think this is really, really important, Rabbi Yisrael. What we are seeing over here is that, what we are seeing over here now is as follows. You're allowed to do at times things in a mass-headed way. Mass-headed way is not about the way you do it. It's much more about the outcome. That the outcome should be slightly different and not as great. So going back to our buttons that came off on Yom Tov. If you just do it with your left hand or with holding a needle differently or something, that may not be good enough. But it's got to be that what? That the button, you could see that the button is not done properly, that something looks a bit different. So I think your example that you give, not using all the holes, it's a perfect example. Because you could see it's a bit different, it's not the right way around. So when you're doing the hem of your garment, so it has to be done, that doesn't look as great. And that leads us to the contemporary question of the machines. So if you were to use for a sewing machine, could you do that? You're not an expert. You're not an expert. But you do know how to use a machine, sewing machine, for basic stuff. At least you have touched it. It goes a lot further than me.
It's not something
that
a Maaseh
Hedyot. It's not a Maaseh Hedyot, it's a Maaseh Uman.
I think there's certain things that you tell
the Maaseh. Very good. I agree with you. It probably qualifies as a Maaseh Uman. I agree. Probably by definition nowadays. I agree. The question is, so if you know how to use it and you qualify as a Maaseh, and you qualify as an Uman, would you be able to do it, but instead of pressing it down, how do you press it? With your hand or with your foot? With your foot, right? So instead of using your...
Usually the sweat ends up in the mouth, usually.
Why is that? Oh, I see, right, okay. So what if you... Is it operated by foot or by hand?
No,
sewing machines, yeah? Foot, right. So instead of using your right foot, you use your left foot. Would that be considered a Maaseh Hedyot? Without making to, because a Maaseh Uman, we're learning now, you may do a Maaseh Uman b'shinui, and that will be okay. Would that qualify?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. No? So I totally agree with Rav Frankel. I think that's precisely part. I mean, that's how the Poskim understands Mishneh Berurah. They were saying that shinui is only good, says the Mishneh Berurah, that it's not good enough if your action is different. Rather, it's got to be that the outcome is different too. Surely, by pressing with your right foot or your left foot, it makes no difference. Once the machine is operating, it will make no difference how you're operating it. So I think this is the pshat of the Mishneh Berurah. I'm looking at the words again. Shinui hanik. I'm looking at the words of the Ramah again. Let's look at the Ramah again. For kol adam yachmir al atzmo, you should be stringent on yourself. Litfoy b'shinui zeh, to do with the shinui. Whatever the circumstance may be, just make sure to do with the shinui. For lo yimahani le'umen, it is not sufficient, not good enough for an umen, for an expert, litfoy, to do stitches on a day. It's not good enough if you hold the needle in a different way. Elo, rather, be'inon b'nid shinui hanika, a recognizable shinui. What's a recognizable shinui? Says the Mishnah Berurah. Tehainu shi'anika b'tfir, should be recognizable with the stitched material, with the garment, atzmo itself, v'loi be'inonach anotzmo. So it's not good enough, it doesn't make a difference how you got to it, it's about how the outcome is. So if, by operating the machine with your left foot, the garment still looks fine, it's a problem. It needs a recognizable shinui. Does that make sense? This will be an important discussion later, I believe, when it comes to more controversial questions, such as using a phone or computer, anything which has got, which may also go into that question, Shalav Kosev. But if we want to define, something which is operated digitally, if we want to define as to whether it's a Maaseh Uman or Maaseh Hedyot, we'll have to bear in mind this model that we've seen now. Does it help at all that you type on it or use a touch screen with your left hand? Will that make a difference at all or not in terms of Maaseh Uman or Maaseh Hedyot? That's a question which we're not going to discuss now, but something we'll discuss at a later stage. You need to keep in mind this model that we've learned now. Okay. Yes.
I heard I think it was a run a number of years ago about taking notes on a shul, a chulam aid, and whether or not you had to, whether you should not do so because it was writing, or whether you should do so in an irregular way. And I'm pretty sure that it was, he held, if it was the run or a different commentator, who said that, no, you should do it in the normal way, because if you didn't take a note, or if you did it in an abnormal way, such that you wouldn't be able to use it properly afterwards, it'll be bittul Torah after Yom Tov, having to go back and do this again. So could you apply the same example with sewing on a button in a bad way? If you need to go back and do it again later on, isn't that also kind of like you're wasting time?
So I don't know specifically what you're referring to, but what I thought you were going to say is perhaps what you're referring to is that there is a halacha when it comes to writing shurim, to writing Torah down, that what happens if you were to not write it down? What's going to happen after Yom Tov? I don't know about your memory, I know about my memory. And what's likely to happen is I'm going to forget half of it at least. Therefore, it may qualify as Dover Oveit, not Bittul Torah, but Dover Oveit. And that certainly could be, there's a heter in writing down Torah and Chidushei Torah, and Divrei Torah to write down on Chol HaMoed, some allow, because of Dover Oveit element. Not Bittul Torah, I don't know if there's a heter of Bittul Torah, but Dover Oveit. The truth is, there are some Chidushim, I believe the Chassam Sofer, it's some Chidushim, which I think he wrote down clearly, there's a to written Chol HaMoed, because he was concerned that he may get lost otherwise if he delays and waits until after him. So therefore, if that's what you're referring to, then probably the button, in terms of the button, is not going to get lost, and to redo it after, it probably would not qualify as a Dov Ovid. Probably. Okay, in Siman Tov Kuf Mem Beis, I believe we'll leave for tomorrow. Beis Hashem, just to summarize what we learned this evening. So we learned this evening about the garments and the shoes. It's, as a principle, it's considered a Dovah Emaisa Uman, which is also, under some circumstances, you're allowed to see to them, especially if it's going to become such a huge loss that they're not, goes to the point of no return kind of thing after you, using them now for the week, and therefore be dover of it, when in which case you'd be allowed to fix them on Chol HaMoed. If it's just a little thing or something, then you'd have to wait until after Yom Tov. Generally speaking, when somebody needs a garment on Chol HaMoed, if it needs to be fixed, then if you're not an Oman, then if it's a very if it's a Maaseh Hedyot, you'd be allowed to do that. If you are more of an expert, then do it in a way which is not aligned, like the dog's teeth, which would be permitted. Finally, we learned that if somebody is an Oman and he wants to see to it, then there is a bit of a problem to do it. If he is a Maaseh Oman, then he should, it's not good enough to just do it in a different way if the outcome is still supreme. You've got to make sure that it's not the outcome is not of superior quality, and there's a recognizable difference in the outcome. So don't just use your left hand if you know it's going to be good enough.
Fixing a bike, the same principles apply. There's a nice umman.
Fixing the bike.
So if it's something very complicated that I'd need to call the guy for,
it probably would be considered ma'aser umman. Yeah. Yeah. If it's probably something you fix yourself, it's a good question. I think that if it's, let's think this through. So if it's something you can fix yourself, like what's a very basic thing to do? Yeah. So probably you could argue that's considered a master head yet. And it's a, you could argue it's a tzorich hamoed. Yeah, I think it would probably be permitted. What do you think? You could argue it's mutter.
Yeah.
I think so. Very good. Okay, I wish you a very pleasant evening, Abayisai.